We're definitely working towards bring your own device. I mean, so we're running a couple of pilots this summer around virtualizing the desktop that would allow that. It's important to me because of looking at the diversity of the folks that work within my environment. I'm looking at the scientists and engineers to include partnerships with foreign nationals and foreign entities. That will actually allow me better capability and give them quicker access to NASA resources in order to get the job done. So it has to definitely be part of the strategy.
People may not be familiar with the foreign entities and foreign nationals. Sometimes people come from other countries to work at NASA, and you have some challenges of getting them access to your network.
Correct. Access to the network, access to data. I mean, they not only come, but we go there. So we build things in partnership with other space agencies, JAXA, so on and so forth, the European Space Agency. So we build things collaboratively. So we're a collaborative environment. It has to be part of the solution going forward.
And if you put together a virtual desktop initiative, then the back end is what's the data is what's secure. So then the roles and responsibilities come through, and you can then say, okay, this foreign national person X can then have access to this set of data Y.
Correct. Or I can create a foreign national desktop where all foreign nationals would be able to access those resources. So doing an evaluation and assessment of what they would need, what they would need access to, and then what we are as NASA are comfortable with is where we want to be. So that's where we're headed.
Right now, if a foreign national wants access to some data, what do you do?
So we take them through a long process of vetting, actually making sure that they are who they say they are. And that could take upwards of 30 to 60 days. Some of that is done on the front end of the process, but still a long sort of cycle from a standpoint of gaining them access to what they need. If we move towards this opportunity, I could probably give them access in days. So that's the goal.
And that's a huge difference to be able to give them access in days. And in fact, let me move to the VDI pilot a little bit. You mentioned that there's a potential about 350 interns are going to start with NASA in the coming days, weeks, and that's who your pilot group's going to be?
So we're looking at the interns, and we also have another one of the organizations that actually is on Goddard that's participating as well. But we're really focusing on the interns saying, If a certain portion of them would actually participate in a pilot, look at, and they're fulfilling various roles across the center, anything from scientists to engineers to folks that more administrative types. There's an opportunity to kind of take advantage of them coming in for the summer and then actually using this pilot. Many of them are probably already more versed from a standpoint of using VDI than we are, because it's maybe even commonplace to them. There are a number of free opportunities out there that they could have gained access through their college experience. And so we're really looking at how do we now match up against what their expectations are.
Is this going to be, for instance, just this summer, so, you know, June through August, or are you going to extend it out once these, obviously, interns go back to colleges or universities or research areas?
Well, we're actually going through the summer, and then we're going to stop the pilot, but we're actually, again, looking at another business unit on the center that is actually going to pilot this long term for us. So we're looking at the students as an initial step, and then the business unit as a second step.
Is that business unit, you mentioned it was a science customer, are you able to talk a little bit about how they'll use it? Meaning, is it a mobility issue or is it just a collaborative issue?
It's a little bit of both. Really, it's tailoring that desktop to the needs of the scientists and engineers. So a lot of them have a very thick client. They have a high usage of actual hardware and software. And so building actually a configuration that would be virtualized, that would meet all of their needs, would be huge. So think about an access versus a laptop to an iPad or an iPhone where they could actually see their desktop. We're also looking at it from a standpoint of persistence, where they shut down their desktop 5 p.m. during the day. They actually load it up either on the way home or on the train, or actually when they get home, and actually then the desktop picks up right where they were at the same point where the cursor was on the word that they were working on just when they shut down their main desktop at work. So we're looking at all those capabilities, I think, which are enhancements to the workforce.
Are you doing this through the I3P contracts? You mentioned some of the ways you are getting some of these services is through the big enterprise contracts.
Right. This one in particular is not. This is part of the innovation program that we have. So it's actually being done in our test development environment within our cloud container. We're actually running that. So it's not part of the I3P, but interesting, the I3P contract for our desktop does allow, from a scope standpoint, to begin to virtualize the desktop. So there are opportunities where they could take advantage of the work we're doing or emulate that.
And let's talk a little bit about that innovation organization. It's something you guys stood up recently. It was a test and development in the cloud. What are you using it for, and how does it kind of meet your long-term goals to be more mobile, to maybe go to the cloud, to do more virtual type of desktop initiatives or cloud initiatives?
It's extremely important. I mean, so the ability for our scientists and engineers and our users to come into a space to actually, you know, experiment with the cloud and look at their applications from a standpoint of are they cloud ready, is huge. I think that for us, it has to be part of our path going forward. It's not really an option. The budgets are declining. Cloud is one of those solution sets that we should look at from a business perspective in order to really realize where we want to go and support the scientists and engineers. So it has to be part of the strategy.
And it's also a way to look at industry emerging technologies as well. How many different emerging technologies are you looking at any one time?
You know, we have sort of a technology roadmap that we're using. That's really, we've used to survey the territory of what makes sense for Goddard. So it differs, you know, depending on what our needs are. So we're not looking at all technologies. We're looking at those technologies that apply to the disciplines and the mission of the center. And so we've really been looking at, you know, we know that we're going to have big data challenges. So looking at the technologies around that, you know, Hadoop and other things that would come to bear on that. Mobility is going to be an issue. So that's why we're taking on the VDI pilot. If you look at security and analytics, we're going to need to have some kind of analytical capability to really look at sort of the attack surface and then being able to quickly analyze data and draw conclusions and decisions on how we protect ourselves. And so we're really sort of focusing the technologies into areas where we actually need to sort of invest in.
The term you used during the Management of Change Conference was a kind of a bake-off with different technologies. So does that mean you're looking at maybe two or three big data technologies or two or three VDIs, and then you say, okay, which one is working best for us, and maybe you'll pick one to pilot?
Actually, no, we're looking at them all as pilots. So we're allowing them to come in and sort of have bake-offs or fly before you buy in the environment in order to see what is actually working. So for me, it's really holding the service provider to task, because if they say that something has a certain capability, now actually letting them demonstrate it and demonstrate it against their competitors. And so what it allows us to do then is be more of an informed consumer of the technology and the innovation as they mature.
All of this seems to be working toward maybe an end goal of a more mobile workforce. You talked about maybe parts of NASA that are testing the idea of they don't come into the office for a week. Can you just talk a little bit about what the idea behind that is?
Yeah, I think it's really getting to the whole issue of ROI. You have to have a sort of a structured approach for its telework. If it's sort of an option where, you know, not everybody exercises the option, it's very difficult to get to ROI. But if we move towards a standard of saying, hey, 50% of our workforce is going to actually telework, that then actually gets us to a place where we could actually measure and gain metrics around the return on investment of actually going to a completely mobility sort of approach towards supporting our workers. And so I think you really have to get to a point where you have sort of a structured approach to really get structured information and metrics around ROI.